We wanted to understand better why opioids have such power over people. What is it about humans that make us so susceptible to the drug's effects and so prone to deadly addiction? So we hit up Charles Chavkin, a professor in the pharmacology department at the University of Washington. He says the key is understanding a chemical in our brains. Endorphins are our natural happy juice, and the brain has a whole series of neurons made just for receiving it.
They're there as kind of antennas. They're very specific. They're tuned to one frequency. The one frequency is the chemical that they've evolved to detect. So they're there pretty much waiting for the right time to fire.
So what happens then when a big batch of opioid molecules roll in?
Well, the receptors are fooled into thinking that it's the endorphins that are telling them that it's time to fire. And what they'll do is they will send the signals as if the endorphins were there. The difference between endorphins and, say, morphine is that when the brain releases endorphins, it's really in a short burst, and then it'll go away. A short burst meaning like a second or a minute or so. But when you take an opium extract like morphine and your blood level goes up and your brain levels go up and can stay up for hours, and the neurons are convinced that there's a very strong, it's like a continual fire alarm going off inside the brain.
Yeah. And how does that, when they're overwhelmed like that, how does that affect normal brain functioning?
Well, all of the effects that you can see of someone who's taken opiates are what you would see. A lower pain sensitivity. They have a strong sense of what we call euphoria, which is that happiness, that dreamy state. So the whole physiology changes.
So how does addiction form?
So when those receptors have been occupied by morphine for an extended period of time, the body, like any other physiologic system, will adapt and will desensitize those receptors. So they will turn down their signaling in a way that will produce tolerance. And the physical dependence means that you are, in order to maintain your physiology, requiring that high level of morphine in your brain and in your blood.
What do we know about why the horrible effects of withdrawal occur? I mean, the nausea. I mean, people really tell nightmare stories about what it's like to be what they call dope sick. Why does that happen?
Well, this physical dependence that I just described is exactly why. So if you think about a teeter-totter, a seesaw, that when the drug comes on one side of the teeter-totter and pushes it down, the physiology restores the balance. Now when the morphine is gone, bam, the teeter-totter tips the other way. At that point, you're feeling the pain, the hyperalgesia, the dysphoria, the gut symptoms. All of those things are withdrawal from the opiate that are there because your body has adapted to the presence of the drug, which is now gone.
So how does, you know, frequent or intense opioid use affect somebody's ability to enjoy other things, the things that normally would have caused a rush of dopamine or endorphins before they were addicted?
That's really the characteristic of the progression to addiction, is that an individual start being amused and entertained and enjoying a pretty broad range of things in their life. But as the drug becomes a more and more important part of their existence, more important part of their life, their interest really narrow to just opiates. In some ways, that's because the way opiates will influence the dopamine system. Dopamine is one of those chemicals that I described a moment ago, one of those transmitters that's really important in signaling a positive thing in your environment. But what the brain has learned is that the most important thing to activate the dopamine system is now this addictive drug, morphine. And other things which used to activate the dopamine system don't any longer.
For someone who's not had an experience with addiction, it can be hard to sort of understand what's motivating somebody who does have an addiction. Why don't they just stop? Why don't they make different choices? Why don't they take responsibility for their addiction and their health? And I'm just curious, from your point of view, can you give us any insight as to why that is?
I think it's really a common debate in our culture to ask, is drug addiction a choice, or have the drug addicts lost that choice? And there's no doubt that there's an element of choice, at least at the beginning. No one's holding a gun to your head to do that. You will be taking the drug of your own choice. But what we know in the biology is that at some point after an experiencing of that opiate for an extended period of time, individuals can't quit. At that point, it takes more than willpower for those individuals to quit.
Professor Charles Chavkin is the Allen and Phyllis Truer Endowed Chair of Pain Research and a professor in the Department of Pharmacology at the University of Washington. Thank you so much.
Thank you.